Support for CKUW is provided by Organic Planet, Winnipeg's only worker-owned organic grocery and vegan deli, located at 877 Westminster Avenue, serving Wolseley and Winnipeg for over 30 years.
CKUW 95.9, Winnipeg.
What do you read, my lord?
Words.
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 Good morning. I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world. Good morning, and welcome to the show for Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Remembrance Day. So I have a few books to talk about as usual, and I hope you'll stay tuned for this half hour. But I'll start with some news and weather and events. So in national news, according to the CBC, thousands of demonstrators, including medical students, doctors, and supporters, gathered at the Bell Centre in Montreal on Sunday to protest Bill C-2, which would connect part of doctors' pay to certain aspects of performance. In addition, doctors who participate in actions such as the current rally, could risk heavy fines. According to organizers of the rally, approximately 12,500 tickets were issued for the event. Government officials claim that the new law will encourage doctors to take more patients and help people find doctors more easily, but medical professionals are not sure about that. Then in international news, according to the BBC, Typhoon Fu Wong, or the Philippines, have been hit by the second typhoon in just days. Super Typhoon Fu Wong brought floods and winds reaching 185 kilometers per hour with gusts of 230 kilometers per hour when it went through the area on Sunday. And sorry, I've lost the, but so it, wind gusts reached, as I mentioned, the damage from the storm was much less than expected at the beginning, but another typhoon has hit the area, as I mentioned, and the super typhoon has moved on to the South China Sea and is heading towards the area of Taiwan. So weather officials are it says water levels are rising fast, and so there's a grave danger of flooding. So that's the news for today. And then in weather, according to the weather from the Richardson International Airport, it's currently 1 degree with mostly cloudy, and the forecast for today, Tuesday, November 11th, is 6 degrees with a 30% chance of showers. And then tonight, minus 2 degrees and clearing. Then tomorrow, Wednesday, November 12th, 5 degrees and sunny. And overnight, minus 4 degrees and clear. For Thursday, November 13th, 5 degrees and sunny. Then overnight, minus 1 degree and clear. Then for Friday, November 14th, 10 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. Then overnight, 2 degrees with cloudy periods. And for Saturday, November 15th, 5 degrees and sunny, then overnight, minus 9 and clear. But I could definitely feel this morning that it was considerably warmer than it was yesterday, so I'm quite glad of that. And as I mentioned, today I'll be talking about two books most likely, but I'll first mention a few events. So it's time now for CKUW's event guide. From concert and club listings to community announcements, we help you keep in touch with what's going on in Winnipeg. So the first is the Christmas Craft and Bake Sale on Saturday, November 15th. That's this coming Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that features homemade baking and craft items. And that's at the St. Charles Headingley United Church. And it's by the women of that church. And fundraising supports charities like Agape Table, Just a Warm Sleep, which is with One Just City, and many others. And the address is 110 Bridge Road in Headingley. And then for another event, there's a community event, an evening of true stories from the slums of Bangladesh. That's also November 18th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. That's at the St. Boniface Cultural Center at 340 Provence. It's free and open to the public. So this will be with best-selling author Jem Munro as he shares powerful tales of discovery, struggle, resilience, and hope. Stories that will open your heart and broaden your perspective. So this takes place Tuesday, November 18th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. with doors opening at 6:30 at the St. Boniface Cultural Center, 340 Provence Boulevard. So it says, come, listen, learn, and be inspired by voices that too often go unheard. And this is sponsored by the Start With Mothers by Amarok Society. And this is a nonprofit organization dedicated to educating the most disadvantaged children on earth by teaching their mothers to become neighborhood teachers. So if you'd like more information, contact 753-380-1418 or go to www.amaroksociety.org. So those are a few of the events listed in the guide. If you'd like to have your event listed as well, please drop by CQW, email us at cqw@uwinnipeg.ca or call 204-786-9782. So as I mentioned, I'll be talking about two books, including one that I... There's one that I reviewed a while ago, and it's a little bit of a different book to review or to talk about, partly because it wasn't finished. The author was killed before she could finish it. But I thought it was appropriate for today, with being Remembrance Day. So this is Looking at Women, Looking at War. Excuse me. I'll repeat that. Looking at Women, Looking at War by Victoria Amelina. And this is published by St. Martin's Press, and it's 304 pages. So for the past few years, people around the world have been reading about the war in Ukraine, mainly from reports on the number of people killed, the buildings and cities destroyed, and diplomatic efforts to end the war. In Looking at Women, Looking at War, Victoria Amelina shows the human side of the conflict, as she describes the lives of ordinary people trying to survive Russia's ongoing war with Ukraine. The book is organized as a series of profiles of people, mainly but not exclusively women, who are finding ways to survive the war, together with the author's comments and her own reminiscences on similar situations that she has encountered. Readers can get a sense of how deeply the author connected with the people she met and the stories that she heard. As I mentioned, most of the stories in this book are about women, although the author also includes a conversation with the writer and lawyer Philippe Sands, as well as stories about other men caught up in the war. However, most of the book is devoted to exploring how women have been affected by and have responded to the war. As an example, the resistance worker with the codename Casanova, a woman called Irina Dovhan, an invisible refugee called Tatiana Pipilchuk, please excuse my pronunciation, and a librarian named Yulia Kakulia Daniluk are among the people the author profiles, returning to tell more of these people stories as the book progresses. So she'll have a little bit of maybe Yulia's story in chapter 2, maybe, and then in chapter 5 she might go back to Yulia again and continue on the story. Besides these personal stories, the author deals with a variety of issues that people have encountered in dealing with the war, including gender-based violence and whether the low-level fighters will eventually be prosecuted while high-level leaders like Vladimir Putin will emerge unscathed. For her, that would be a travesty of justice. And we can imagine what might happen if just kind of the ordinary people who got caught up in the war are prosecuted and the leaders aren't. So Amelina includes many personal touches in this book, including a conversation that she had with her young son when he worried about the Lego constructions that he had left at their home before they were forced to flee. At times, the author reflects on activities she would like to do after the war, which is very sad if you know the ending of what happened to her, since she was killed in a Russian airstrike in July 2023, and readers might find these comments especially poignant. As I mentioned, the book is unfinished since the author wasn't able to complete it, and the editors of the text have included Amelina's often fragmentary notes on chapters that she intended to write, as well as noting when she left a sentence unfinished. Some of these notes are useful, but they also tend to break up the flow of the book, and would possibly have been better included in an appendix at the end of the book, so that readers could follow the story uninterrupted, especially as the author didn't really have she had more of little snippets rather than an ongoing story, so it would have been quite fine, I think, to put the finished chapters together and then have the notes at the end. And one thing that I noticed as well was that the translators frequently used persecute instead of prosecute, which might confuse some readers, although the intended meaning is relatively easy to discern. As you can imagine, the subject matter of the book is quite distressing. But despite this and some of the structural issues, Looking at Women, Looking at War is a fascinating book that gives readers a glimpse into the real people behind news headlines. The subject matter of the book is heavy, but the writing style is clear and fairly easy to read, making Looking at Women, Looking at War a good choice for anyone who wants to gain insights into the human cost of the war in Ukraine. So a bit of a biography. Victoria Amelina was a human rights activist, advocate, and writer of novels, essays, and poems, written in both Ukrainian and English. Many of her essays were published in the Irish Times, Dublin Review of Books, and Eurozine. Before becoming a war crimes investigator after the Russian invasion of Ukraine in 2022, she wrote several books for children and was working on a novel. And she was killed by a Russian missile strike on July 1st, 2023. So it's not an easy book to read, but it's very fascinating and very compelling. And especially on November 11th, it's a good thing to consider that it's not just about the soldiers, it's about the ordinary people as well. So if you're interested in this one, Looking at Women, Looking at War, by Victoria Amelina, A-M-E-L-I-N-A, and that's published by St. Martin's Press. Sorry, I think that came out a little bit garbled. And it's 304 pages. So that's one thing that I wanted to mention, and maybe we'll now have a little bit of music. So this is by Alfredo Catalani, and this is from the album Ero e Leandro. And this is Andantino. I hope you'll enjoy it.
Thank you.
So that was Alfredo Catalani, and this was from the album Ero e Leandro, and it's a symphonic poem. So before the break, I was talking about the book Looking at Women, Looking at War by Victoria Amelina, and now I'd like to talk about one which I believe I've talked about before, but it's always worth reviewing again, and this is called This Bright Dust, a novel by Nina Berhout. This is published by Goose Lane, and it's 243 pages. Hard times can bring communities together or divide them, as most people have experienced. In This Bright Dust, Nina Berhout tells the story of people's triumphs and failures in the struggle to survive in 1939 Canada. Nina Berhout has written three previous novels, including Why Birds Sing, named Audible's Best Book of the Year for Canada, and her young adult novel, The Mosaic. In addition, she is the author of five poetry collections and has had her work included in publications across Canada. Currently, she lives in Ottawa. This Bright Dust tells the story of Abel Dodds, a farmer from Alberta who has promised to look after his neighbor Jake Wishart's family while Jake is away earning money as a farmhand. In 1939, farmers are still feeling the effects of a decade of drought, hail and grasshoppers that could devastate crops in an instant. Meanwhile, with war looming in Europe, farmers face additional insecurity as they contemplate the effects that a global conflict will have on their communities. For Abel, the neighboring Wishart family, and others in the community, daily life is a struggle for survival. Abel faces the additional issue of sorting out his feelings for Jake's sister Una, who left the area sometime earlier, only to return with a baby but no husband. Meanwhile, Abel, Una, and their neighbors watch as one farm after another fails, and people leave in search of a sustainable future before World War II comes to change their lives. Despite the subject matter that can often be depressing, This Bright Dust has its lighter moments. For example, the community of Grayley, where Abel and Una live, anticipates the possibility of a royal visit from King George VI and his wife Queen Elizabeth. Meanwhile, Abel goes on a treasure hunt, trying to find a small bar of gold that his father claimed to have buried somewhere on the farm. Abel's relationship with his horse Tansy also has its humorous moments. Nina Berhout vividly portrays many of the struggles and difficulties of life in the late 1930s. When the neighbor's son becomes ill in a community with no doctor, or no phones, for instance, Abel must ride his horse for hours to reach the doctor and request help. The lack of assistance from the government for any of the farmer's needs is an ongoing theme in the book, as people are forced to depend on each other rather than on the authorities. The circumstances that the characters encounter have many parallels with the situation that Canadians are currently facing. Random violence, despair, and continuing struggles to manage the difficulties of life are themes that many people can understand in the wake of the pandemic and ongoing troubles with finding work and other situations like that, rising prices. With very realistic characters and situations, this book is one that many readers can appreciate. Although the characters experience very difficult circumstances, they also have a sense of community that helps to brighten the story. Many of the novel's issues are resolved by the end of the story, although some readers might be surprised by the final chapter, which describes what happened to Abel after the main events of the story. So Nina Berhout's story of life in Canada at the end of the Great Depression is often compelling, as she details the struggle for the basics of life in a time of scarcity. Many readers will also identify with the characters and find inspiration from their attempts to maintain a normal life, even in very abnormal conditions. For many readers, This Bright Dust is a good choice. So this is This Bright Dust, a novel by Nina Berhout, Berkhout, and it's published by Goose Lane and is 243 pages. So you might notice a theme here that both of them deal with war to some extent, although This Bright Dust just has the threat of war for most of the book, except for the last little bit, although I shouldn't give too much away. And the other one deals with the war that has excuse me, it deals with the war that has been going on for a very long time. So those are two books to consider on Remembrance Day and into the coming week. So I hope you'll maybe look up one of these books and see if you can find a copy. So coming up next is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, and I hope you'll stay tuned and have a great week. Thanks for listening.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
Support for CQW is provided by Organic Planet, Winnipeg's only worker-owned organic grocery and vegan deli, located at 877 Westminster Avenue, serving Wolseley and Winnipeg for over 30 years.
From the University of Winnipeg, this is CKUW 95.9 FM Campus Community Radio.
Listen to Dev City Steppers every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Playing the best in bass, deep dubstep, and halftime with your host, Theo Zoo.
On CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
The West End Research Center Stepping Stones to Work program is a free training program for job seekers on EIA with a criminal record. The Stepping Stones to Work program offers first aid, CPR training, safe food handling, workplace hazardous materials information system training, as well as employment readiness workshops. Training is offered year-round. For more information and to find out if you are eligible, please phone 204-202-6932, extension 106. That's 204-202-6932, extension 106. The West End Resource Center is located at 832 Ellis Avenue at Arlington.
Got a bike or some parts you want to put to good use? Drop them off at any of the City of Winnipeg's 4R locations on Panet, Pacific, or Brady Road during their open hours.